You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
On your favorite, you know what I'm going to say, O-R-S-P-S.
Active FM.
Where...
radio.
Has never been better.
I'm Sash.
My name is Ryan.
And today we are doing a film review of an animated film.
Yes.
Yay.
Not the, well, we've done a few before.
We've done a few before.
Not many, but...
not many, yeah.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah. I'd say favorite animated film thus far is still... Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That one.
Damn, I was thinking Sing, but then you...
No.
You entered that one, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Like, that definitely is at the top of the list.
Top of the list. This one is sitting third on mine.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but this one is a Pixar film. So we decided to go with the most underrated Pixar film ever. Because, like, Ryan was like... did they even did they advertise? Did they market?
What
like
distribution plans were they?
Because both of us have done this thing called Pixar in a Box. It's very cool. If you are a filmmaker out there and you want to know how they do animated films and all of that jazz, definitely go check out Pixar in a Box. They literally, it's like going on a Pixar internship. Like a virtual Pixar internship.
Yep.
That's literally what they do. And for some of the lessons, they actually looked at Coco as an example.
That's
so
right.
I hadn't watched Coco when we did Pixar in a Box. But then I think that's where I found out about it. Same as you.
You see?
So we both found out about it doing a...
what are you guys
like
doing in South Africa?
Course.
Come on, man.
And honestly... this is one of my favorite Pixar films. If not favorite, I agree with you on the animated film. That definitely, 100%. So Ryan, tell us, what is your second favorite animated? I'm guessing it's Sing.
It is Sing. And I have to be honest with you, Matthew McConaughey just helps to push that movie up.
True.
Even more.
That was a good film. But yeah. I don't know about the second one. Like, honestly, I'm...
yeah, I watched the...
trailer.
I watched the trailer. I was like, okay. Maybe
sometimes you just get it right the first time.
Just end it there.
Yeah, and after that, it's just not right.
It was a great film. There you go.
Standalone. Yeah. Okay, so yours is Spider-Man. What is it called? It is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, which there is the sequel is coming out.
Yes.
Very excited for that.
Yeah.
Then it's Sing, and then it's Coco.
This one, definitely. Me and my whole family watched it,
yeah.
And it was such a good film. Lately, I don't know why, some films that I watch, I'm like, you know, that predictability. Like, I'm finding that a lot, and it's almost making my experience boring. I'm sitting there, I'm like, But this film, we watched it through. It wasn't too long either. It was a nice length. The story was awesome.
No, it was very good.
And they had my favorite friend in here as well, called Unpredictable.
Your favorite friend?
Yes, I love
the character. I thought you were actually referring to, like, friends. I was like, no one from Friends was in here.
No, the Unpredictable predictability. Now, obviously, within the Pixar in a Box, they let off one sort of twister.
That's the thing. So in Pixar in a Box, they basically tell you who the villain in the film is, which they don't, it's not predictable. It's not like from, you know, some things you like, you know, oh flip, they're the bad guy. Like you don't know that this guy's the bad guy. But even though I knew that he was the bad guy, I was still surprised.
I actually thought the dad was, and if you haven't watched this film, you don't know what, but if you watch this, you know exactly what I'm saying. I thought the dad was the bad guy at first when I met him.
Really?
Yes. I thought this must be the guy. Let me guess. He's going to try and hold him back, the kid back from getting out, wada wada. And he actually turned out to be quite a likable character.
No, he was my favorite character, Hector.
Definitely.
Hector was my favorite character.
Yeah.
Honestly, the twist in the story got me. I did not see it coming. You said you saw it coming, but I had mentioned it.
Yeah, you said, no, there's another twist. And I was like, okay, cool, awesome, brilliant. Let's watch the show because I'm not expecting, there's something coming up.
The unexpected.
Yes, and then at some point when the boy said, what, musician? Because he said he hates musicians. The dad said that, and then the boy said, what do you know about musicians? I'm like, no.
But even the way the story played out, you didn't see that coming,
no,
right?
No.
Like, just the story. And you know what it is? It's not even, like, the plot twist wasn't even that dramatic, but the way they told the story and the way they kept information from you as the audience,
yeah,
and then slowly, like, gave you pieces here and there, not in chronological order, but, like, this is what I love about filmmaking, is you can take a story, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the most interesting story, but the way you tell it can, yeah, can actually make and break your story. So that's, yeah, why I love Guy Ritchie films, because the way he tells the story isn't just, like, he tells, when you watch a Guy Ritchie film, you trust him. You know that he's going to tell the story,
yeah,
in an unexpected way, which just adds to. So I feel like that's what they did. They told the story in a way that wasn't, they gave you information at certain times, and you were like, what? Yeah,
that's true, because with me knowing the plot twist, what kept me glued was like, okay, why does the plot twist happen?
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for. And then there was another plot twist coming, and then I was just like, no. Wow, okay.
But by the end, you're fully satisfied. Yeah. Everything's been answered.
We all went to bed smiling.
Oh, no. Do you know, yeah, I watched this film. I watched it on a Saturday evening by myself. And then the next day, I got my family together, and I was like, we're watching a movie. It's animated. Just work with me. And I watched it again. So literally, I watched it.
Really?
I literally watched it twice in one day after the other.
Wow.
That's how much I loved it.
And how did you find it second time?
I loved it as much as I watched it the first time.
Did you see anything that you missed out, or did you?
I think watching it the second time, having the knowledge of what was going on and who everyone was,
yeah,
like, you do pick up things here and there, but it was really cool. I looked at other Pixar films, because after watching this, I was like, you know what? This very easily could be my favorite animated film. But then Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I was like, okay, no, wait, that one different, just because of how they did it, like the creativity behind it. But I then went and searched other Pixar films, and I realized it is inside my top four Pixar films. And no, Toy Story is not there, sorry, to all their Toy Story lovers. So there's Coco, then there's Inside Out. Inside Out, also, I only watched it recently, but what I enjoyed about it was the concept behind it. And there was one specific scene. Have you watched Inside Out?
I actually haven't.
So basically, the whole thing takes place inside this little girl's head, and it's her emotions. So her emotions are the characters in the film. And there's one part where you watch how the mom and dad and the daughter are sitting at a dinner table, and they're interacting with one another. But then you see how each person's emotions are trying to read the other person and are trying to respond. And, like, at one point, the dad gets in trouble, so he, like, hits this warning bell, and there's sirens going off in his head. And, like, just the way that it was just creative. And for me, Inside Out, I'd say, would be at the bottom of my favorites. So it's not. I enjoyed Coco more than I enjoyed Inside Out, but I did enjoy Inside Out. And then I loved WALL-E. WALL-E, I loved that film. Most people didn't like that film when it came out, but I loved that movie. I don't know why I loved that movie, but I loved that movie. So I definitely put that there. And then this one is the one that's fighting with Coco. Brave.
Oh, really?
I loved Brave.
I haven't watched Brave.
What? No, Ryan, you need to do a Pixar marathon.
It looks like a girly movie.
No, it's not. There's a so they're obviously in Scotland, right?
Makes sense because of the orange curly.
So there's one part where the dudes have all come together, because you know how in Scotland they used to fight for the lovely maiden's hand. I think it's three different, like, Scottish tribes that come together, and then the dads are all, like, they're going, my son's going to beat your son. So they're all wearing the Scottish kilts, right? And then at one point...
And they're all big and short.
No, different. It's different.
Okay.
The one short guy then at one point goes, feast your eyes, and he lifts his kilt. But you know that they didn't wear anything under the kilt,
yeah,
right? So they don't show you anything, but... That line has stuck with me from when I watched. That line is one of my lines in life. Feast your eyes. So that I couldn't decide. But I really enjoyed Coco. I honestly really enjoyed Coco. It was a breath of fresh air. It was so good. And the music. I loved the music. The music was really good as well.
Can't say that I listened to the music again. I was actually quite a... I loved the graphics.
The graphics also were insane, yeah.
And all of that was so well done. And the cool thing is that understanding... Watching the film and actually understanding what was in the director's mind and what was in everybody's mind while they were... And the cool thing about Pixar in a Box is that they teach a bit about production and how they light scenes. Mm. So whenever the specific scenes that they spoke about came up, I'm like, ah, it's that scene. Yeah, look, her badge, it's all lit up. And yeah. Look, oh, that part there that they did. Oh, cool. Oh, awesome. And, like, I noticed the color change because they talk about color scripts and stuff like that. So, but besides that, I mean, it was different. It was very different to other films. I don't think I've seen a movie lit like this
before.
Have
you ever watched The Book of Life? It's also an animation.
No.
So, The Book of Life is, many people would compare Coco to The Book of Life or even call Coco Pixar's version because it was also set in Mexico around the Day of the Dead. But it wasn't, I don't actually know who did that one. But I watched The Book of Life years ago. I really enjoyed The Book of Life when I watched it as well. The animation style is very different though to Coco. But honestly, I don't know. The Book of Life was a love story, so the whole thing was on love, but it was also focused on the Mexican Day of the Dead, and the one character also dies and goes into the land of the dead and has to, figure life out from being dead. That's intense. But anyway, that's basically the plot line. But I think I did enjoy Coco more than The Book of Life. Honestly, I think if I had to choose a favorite between the two of them, I would go with Coco. The Book of Life was awesome, and I've watched The Book of Life more than once as well, and I enjoyed it both times. But I do think that Coco was more of a favorite than The Book of Life.
So this whole like color scheme, the different colors with the like golden glow type of feel, yeah, which you can see in years as well.
Yeah,
that's obviously a Mexican the whole thing round this. What? Day of the Dead or whatever?
Day of the Dead, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think they think like the underworld or where you go when you're dead. It's like...
Yeah.
What was smart about it was there was nothing alive. So that's the one thing that they said with Coco. The only thing that technically was living was, you know, the petals from the orange petals?
Yes.
Now that is significant within Mexican culture. So that was the only living thing in the land of the dead. Everything else was actually artificial.
Where do the petals come from? What are the petals? What?
I think it's... I stand to be corrected, but I think what they're saying is the petal, because they use the petals in the film to guide the spirits back to their home. And you saw they couldn't go wherever the petals weren't. So whenever they crossed over from the land of the dead to the land of the living, the petals were like their guide to their families and stuff like that. So I think that was the significance. And I actually think it is a Mexican thing. Like, I think if you watch this film, most of the things, or what's the word? Most of the references to Mexican culture, I think, is actually, even the dog.
Yeah.
Do you know that the dog Dante, that is the national Mexican dog. It's got a very long, weird name. I can't pronounce it.
So Dante is short for that.
No, Dante was the name of the dog. The dog, the short for the dog is the dog XOLO, Xolo. I think they pronounce it Xolo, but the name is like, it's like a whole long name. But that is actually the Mexican national dog, and it's a hairless dog. So what they did in the film was, it's actually the national Mexican dog. But for me, one of the interesting things about this film was the name. So, when going into it, the name, like, doesn't... But I suppose most Pixar film names don't really give, like, much into it until you've, like, watched it, like, Up. Like, Pixar is a film named Up, literally. So, I suppose they went there. But then, at the end of the film, you're like, oh, that's why it's named Coco. Like, I don't know if you got the name. But now, this was very weird. So, apparently, they had to rename the film when it went to Brazil and that, because so the filmmakers had a particularly difficult time in deciding on what the final title of the film was going to be. They had last settled on Coco, which is the name of the primary protagonist's great-grandmother. But that's not to say that the name stuck universally with every nation's release. In Brazil, for example, the movie was renamed Viva owing to the potentially confusion connotations and meaning behind the word Coco in Portuguese. When accented, the word Coco, I don't know how to accent it, but basically if you accent the last O in Coco, it translates in Portuguese to poop. And when unaccented, the definition is that of a coconut. So, because neither...
I will be asking my Portuguese friend.
Because neither reference would have been appropriate for the film, they found it best fitting to change. And so in Brazil, it's not actually named Coco, it's named Viva. But then obviously everywhere else in the world, Coco. I was like chocolate. That was my initial response to this film. You know, Coco.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I thought that was very interesting. And crazily enough, do you know that this movie was more popular in China than in the US? It actually did better in China. It brought in more money opening week than...
For real,
than, And China's quite sticky about what they release.
Their movies and
culture. And except they loved this film so much that they actually didn't... So they broke their own rules, basically, to get the film into China. That's actually what they did.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, this also... It's Mexico's highest grossing movie ever as well. So
Mexico.
So in Mexico, this is the highest grossing movie ever. This was also crazy. Do you know this film, it's the longest for Pixar, took 6 years to complete.
You know, that makes a lot of sense, eh?
Literally, it took 6 years to complete. And it's the longest for... Now, animated films, oh my word, the amount of work that goes into an animated film is insane. I would really recommend you go watch Pixar in a Box if you are interested in any filmmaking thing, because you actually don't realize just how much work goes into a, into just... Do you know there's a job where a person, all their whole job is just to light what's been animated. That's it. That's their job. They're not there to do anything else. They're not there to put a dress on her. They're not there to make it rain. They're just there to light what has been. And you don't even realize how much the lighting actually plays psychologically with the audience. But Pixar does, and that's why they do it. That's why they have a whole job assigned just to that. Because certain colors bring out certain emotions as you're watching it. So,
and even with the lighting, they had someone who lights a scene.
Mm.
And then you get people who, even after it's lit in,
yes,
they use a light to bring out something specific.
Specific,
so,
yeah.
Like I spoke about the, what do you call these people there?
The skeletons.
They were specifically at that one entrance gate or whatever before they could enter or leave.
Yes.
But the policeman had a badge on, so they wanted to like really bring out the bling
of the badge.
Yeah. So that person was like, let me put a light.
Put a light on the badge.
That's
So I suppose in that way, that's why animated films aren't like the real world, because we don't have lights like everywhere, or we can't have lights everywhere, but they do that so that they can bring out and emphasize certain things. But an astonishing 7 million lights were created for the opening shot of The Land of the Dead. 7 million lights. A person's job for like a whole good 6 months to a year was creating 7 million lights just for one shot.
I hope they knew how to organize.
Oh my word, imagine organizing 7 million lights. This one shot took years for the animators to dream up and create. So that little shot, that one shot when you first go to the Land of the Dead and you're walking up, they're walking up to the Land of the Dead. That one shot, would you look at for like, what, like 5 seconds at max, maybe?
It comes and then it goes.
And goes. They spent years working on just that one shot for you to look at for 5 seconds. That's filmmaking, people.
Well, of course.
Thankless job right there.
What would the film be
without
that?
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
What would the film be without? But yeah, that hence why the film kind of took 6 years to complete. And this, I thought this was very, very cool. Ryan, I don't know if you know, so I'm a pianist, so I didn't really take notes of this, but Ryan is a guitarist. Ryan, you must let us know if you actually noticed this.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
So when you see anyone play the guitar in Coco, they're actually playing the correct notes.
That's
so
right.
So what the animated character is doing with their fingers is actually what is happening in the music.
You can really do it. You can pick up your guitar and play exactly
what
he's
playing. So if you watch them, and they often did show quite a few shots of his hands, you could actually play the tune. So what they did was using videos of musicians who had cameras attached to their guitars as a reference, animators were able to make the guitar playing in the movie authentic, which is so cool. Like, that's such a stupid small little detail, but I think that is so cool.
No, usually I actually get quite not irritated, but I notice immediately when someone's playing the guitar and I see the way they play, and I'm like, no.
It's kind of like a lip sync error for guitarists. That's what it must come across like. Like, you can see they're not doing that, but they really did.
That
was really
that
cool. Yeah. And then I also thought this, I'm so glad they did this. So this is a non-musical with music. So for all of you haters out there, of musicals, this is your type of film.
That
which I'm actually so glad they did. But do you know, it wasn't originally like that. Originally, there were musical numbers, as in a musical, and they actually removed it. So I was watching this one interview where it's basically deleted scenes, but it's not the animated, the finished product. It's the, you know how they do the drawings?
Yeah, it's a previews.
It's basically like a storyboard of what the scenes would have been, or what they would have looked like if they went ahead with it, but they didn't. But there were quite a few musical numbers. The film started with a musical number where it was basically showing you how once you die, you go to the land of the dead. Like, that was the whole musical, what the whole musical number was about. And then another musical number that they took out was when he's with his family, they sing about the fact that they hate music. And I was like, I'm so glad they took that musical number out, because it made it more real that they didn't want music. Like, that one sequence where you literally just see his grandmother going, "No music! No music!" And then the guys are walking past and she comes out, "No music!" And they run. Like, just that simple, those three shots that tell you they hate music was so effective. Like, if they had gone with a musical number with them singing about the fact that they don't like music, we would have just been like, really? Seriously? So I'm so glad they actually chose to not make it a musical, but it does have music within it. So while many Disney films are designated musicals in which key characters have moments of falling into synchronized harmony at various times throughout the story, that's basically what a musical is, Coco is by definition not a musical, yet it is a non-musical that centers around music all the same, which puts it into a unique category of its own. The music featured in Coco contains traditional influential sounds that were characteristics of the golden age of Mexican cinema, and and I love the way they did that, the way it really was. They really like honored, if I could say, Mexican cinema. You could see it, like the whole thing. It was really cool.
I guess that's why it made a lot of money.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, if you think about it, it's actually quite a weird thing, because you know, the whole film is about a boy who wants to become a musician. So then you get the musical part.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that family is more important than music. But then he uses music to help his grandmother to remember. So it's sort of like you get what you want when you give it up type of thing.
Yeah. That was the nice thing as well. The story was wholesome. Like, you got to the end and you're like, you know what? That was a good story. Because the thing is, most animated films are watched by kids. That's one of the reasons animated films are created. It's obviously, I'm not saying they're only created for kids. I mean, we're not kids and we watched it. But most animated films are created for kids. But it's nice to just have a good, wholesome message where the children can actually watch. You can have a dream, and sometimes we pursue dreams at the cost of family. But that's not worth it. It's not actually worth it. Is the dream worth giving that up for? Like, is it really? And yes, you can achieve your dreams sometimes without giving up your family. And sometimes it will be more fulfilling for you not to be the famous dude having everyone know your name, but playing music at home with your family gathered around you. Like, that, for me, the story was just really, really, really good. Like, honestly. And the music, even though it wasn't a musical, obviously there were a lot of musical items within it. The music was really, it was beautiful, and it was so authentic to the Mexican culture. Like, you literally felt like you were in a Mexican fiesta or something. Like, that was, the only thing I had a problem with, there was one thing that I did not like about the film. Do you want to know what it is, Ryan?
It was, I don't know. Now I give up.
Was there anything you didn't like about the film?
Not really, eh?
Not really.
Nah, I enjoyed it.
So you were happy all way through?
Yeah.
Okay, the only... It's not did not like, shame. I'm not going to, like, bash the film. I was just being dramatic. But at the end of the film, right? Spoiler alert. Coco dies, right? So you see her on her family's ofrenda. That's how they pronounce it, right? And she's obviously now gone to the land of the dead.
And she still looks old and...
Yes! She looked like an old skeleton. I was like, why is she still old?
You know, when they walked away at the end, and it was like father, mother,
grandmother, but daughter.
Exactly.
Daughter, grandmother. That was weird. I don't understand why they did that. Like, I was like...
It would have been so cool if she was like young or something like that.
Even when I watched it with my parents and my family, they were like, why is she old still? I was like, I don't know. Why is she... Yeah. But her wrinkles were on point. The way they wrinkled her skin, that was amazing. Yeah. That really was.
She felt really old.
Yeah. And the Mama Imelda, that was Hector's wife, that woman was scary. Oh my goodness. That woman, she... you know when it's the great-great-grandmother that everyone's scared of? Yeah, no,
she
was... And the actress, I was really impressed. I was watching a video where they'd show you, like, the actor behind the voice, or the voice behind, behind the voice, yes. And she, the person, the female, the woman, the lady that plays her, doesn't have such a strong Mexican accent. Like, she actually put on an accent for the role. And I was like, what? She modeled it after one of her, I think it was her aunt, she was scared of as a child.
Right.
But she did a really good job.
Well, that's why she did a good job.
Mama Imelda.
It reminded her of her aunt.
You know what I also really enjoyed was the whole... So the character as a skeleton and the character as a human.
Yeah.
Because they didn't look... They did have... There were similarities, but the skeleton obviously... naturally would have a much harder look to them. So, like, the soft features of, like, human skin was gone.
Yeah, it had, like, the lighting, obviously, on the bones themselves. They almost had, like, this bit of a glow type of...
But, like, when they compared it with the human self, like, they were a lot less... The human self was, like, softer and...
Oh, yes.
Whereas, obviously, like, the skeleton would be more rigid and...
Oh, yes, okay.
And can we just... Another spoiler alert. Can we just mention how... What was the famous guitarist's name again?
I have his name here. It's a Mexican...
It was a proper Mexican...
Quite a Mexican name.
His name was Ernesto de la Cruz.
I like the way you say that.
The way he died in real life, and then they killed him the same. I was finished when that happened. When the ball fell the second time, I was like,
"Well, if you get it once, you'll get it again."
That was proper. I was like, you know what? That was cool. That was really cool how they did that. That was really cool. I enjoyed that a lot.
That one, yes.
Do you know, I enjoyed this film so much that there is a frame of Hector that I want to screenshot and I want to make it my WhatsApp profile picture.
Which one?
It's right in the beginning when you first meet Hector and he's trying to get across the floral.
Yes.
That was... And you know what I also loved was how...
Are you talking about when he was in...
when he was trying to get across the bridge of flower petals?
That's
his face. There's a facial expression he pulled. I was like, I relate to this face in so many ways. So if you have me on WhatsApp, I will be doing that pretty soon. So look out for that.
I will go get the frame for you.
Thank you, Ryan. But also what I loved was how they did the whole reference back to old Mexican cinema as well. So like the footage, they cut it, they did the 4x3 black and white. Like that whole, I loved it. It's not that frame, Ryan. Ryan's trying to find the frame right now in our midst. It's when he's on the bridge. Ryan's. That phrase. Go back slightly. There we go. Look at that face. That face is gangster. For all of you who want to see the face, go on YouTube, Active TV. Ryan's going to put it there. There we go. That is my new WhatsApp profile picture, people. Right? Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Coco. Honestly, it is the most underrated Pixar film because, honestly, it is one of my favorite Pixar films. Yeah. I think it might be my favorite. Brave, I'd have to watch again to decide.
I'd have to watch Brave.
Yeah, you should watch Brave. Yeah. And you should watch Inside Out.
Yes.
Yeah. But really enjoyed
it. Two movies to watch.
Really, really enjoyed
Guys,
it.
Guys, get your two movies, Pixar movies
I'm gonna
to watch.
I'm going to say something that people might shoot me for, but I'm going to say it. Are you guys ready? I think that Coco was way better than Encanto.
Than what?
Encanto. It's Disney's new film.
Ah.
I liked Coco more. I might get shot, but I liked. Yeah, the person that's filming us is currently shooting me. Not just shooting as in with the camera. They're actually like showing me gun. So if I die.
But they didn't finish Coco, so.
Oh really? Mm. Oh, so they're not one to talk.
Well, now they know everything.
No, honestly, I enjoyed Coco more than Encanto. Sorry, people. It's also on the whole Mexican-Spanish vibe, so at least I'm still there.
Right? Give some credit.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is the most underrated, but one of the greatest Pixar films, Coco.
Coco.
Definitely.
Definitely yeah. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd watch it. I might watch it again. Actually, I might watch it again.
I would watch it again. Mm. I've watched it twice and I'd
But I want
watch
to watch the other two movies as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So this has been The Movie Show.
On your favorite ORSPS.
And we are signing out.
Tuning out.
Tuning out. Leaving. Peace.
Cheers.
Like what you're listening to?
Follow us on Gap and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at / ActiveFM.